The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as the rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Been seen in the streets, where each sign of hatred he with love defeats. Lord Jesus, I should triumph too. Where good conquers evil, let me dance with you. Jesus Christ is calling, calling in the streets. Who will join my journey? I will guide your feet. Listen, Lord Jesus, let my fears be few. Walk one step before me, I will follow you.
Let's be seated. How would you feel if someone asked you, "We want you to do whatever we ask of you"? Right? I would say, "Wait, tell me first what you want, and then I'll say yay or nay." So the two closest disciples of Jesus, beyond Peter, James and John, asked that from Jesus. They want something from him. What is it that they want? They're jockeying for position. They imagine Jesus is going to do a coup d'etat. He's going to take over the government in Jerusalem. He's going to be king. And they're wondering who is going to be second and third in command. That's what they want. Jesus tells them, "Are you sure? Do you know what you're asking?" Jesus, shortly before this story, he had told the disciples, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." Well, of course, they said, "Hey, I'm ready. I'll be first. I'll be second." They're lining up. But Mark is pointing out, again, this is the third time that Jesus tries to explain to the disciples what it truly means to be a disciple. Again and again and again, the disciples don't get it. They think it is something else, and Jesus tries to explain, "This is not what you think." Jesus sees in their wish a repetition of the ways of the world. Jesus sees in these apostles the same mentality as the oppressors of his time. He says to them in today's gospel, "You know that among the nations of the world, the great ones lord it over the little people and act like tyrants. But that is not the way it will be among you. Whoever would be great among you must serve and minister. And whoever wants to be great among you must be slave of all. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a servant to offer his life as a ransom for others. Jesus tries to reorient the desire of the disciples by asking, are you willing to drink the cup I will drink? Are you willing to be baptized by the baptism I am baptized in? Of course, this cup and this baptism was torture and death, not shiny new thrones and power in this world. So the question is, when we say we want to be followers of Christ, what are we hoping for? What are we expecting? Are we willing to drink the cup and be baptized in Jesus' baptism? Probably none of us here will be killed a literal death by following Jesus. So this drinking of the cup and being baptized for probably all of us is a metaphor. A metaphor of dying to an old life, being born to a new life. What Paul says in Romans, don't you know that all who share in Christ Jesus by being baptized are also sharing in his death? Or in Corinthians, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So for most of us, this death and life will be a metaphorical one. But not for all. Throughout this history of the church, there have been people who this gospel has not been a metaphor. It has been a reality. And a couple of us, 3 years ago, went to El Salvador. Jennifer was there, right? And one of the most touching moments, I don't know for you, it was for me, was going to a little chapel at the hospital, the Chapel of Our Lady of Providence, in a hospital, to visit the place where Bishop Oscar Romero was killed. He was the Archbishop of El Salvador. In 1980, the 24th of March, he was killed while he was celebrating the Eucharist. He was killed right there on the altar. He was shot. And an exercise they asked us to do, you remember, Jennifer? We were asked to go to the back of the church, one by one. The killer, the man, just drove his car, pulled out of the car, with his rifle perched on the roof of the car, clear shot. And we were asked to walk to the back, to the street, and walk the path of that bullet. You can imagine, wasn't that powerful?
Powerful.
Walking in silence, that path of the bullet, and walk all the way to the altar where he fell, and blood still stains the floor of that altar. For me, that was a very, very moving moment in my life. The month Oscar Romero was killed, he had preached early on that month the following words. I have been frequently threatened with death. I must tell you that as a Christian, I do not believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will be resurrected in the Salvadoran people. I tell you without any boasting, with the greatest humility. As a pastor, I am bound by divine mandate to give my life for those I love, who are the Salvadorans, even those who are going to assassinate me. If the threats are to be fulfilled, I already offer my blood to God for the redemption and resurrection of El Salvador. Martyrdom is a grace that I do not believe I deserve. But if God accepts the sacrifice of my life, may my blood be the seed of freedom and the sign that hope will soon be a reality. My death, if accepted by God, is for the liberation of my people and as a testimony of hope in the future. They can say, if they were to kill me, that I forgive and bless those who do it. Hopefully, they will convince themselves that they will waste their time. A bishop will die, but the church of God, which is the people, will never perish. Powerful words. Oscar Arnulfo Romero was born in 1917. Came from a humble family. He wanted from very early on, he was a very pious little kid. He wanted to go to seminary when he was 14. He went to seminary. His family couldn't pay for it. He had to go work in the gold mine for a while. Then he went back to seminary. He was very bright. They sent him to Rome to study at the Gregorian University over in Rome. He came back, assigned to a parish, but he was bright and he started ascending in the hierarchy of the church. He became secretary of the Conference of Bishops of El Salvador. And little by little, he was appointed as auxiliary bishop of San Salvador. Many people loved him, especially in the government and other parts of the church, because he was very pious. He didn't get involved in social justice issues. He was a quiet man. So when the Pope appointed him as the Archbishop of El Salvador, many people were very happy. He's one of us. He will keep quiet. He won't rock the boat. He will keep preaching churchy stuff and leave us do our business. At that moment, killings were common. Hundreds of peasants have been killed. And he was one that said, let's just not rock the boat. Let's keep quiet. Let's not say anything. A couple of months later, after his appointment as archbishop, one of his best friends, Rutilio Grande, a Jesuit, was killed. He was an ordinary priest. His Eucharistic minister, be careful, and an altar boy, an altar server, 14 years old. The three of them were assassinated. That really shook his life. He said, I cannot remain silent. He wrote and preached on sermon in 1977 when people were asking me, remain neutral, don't get in the way. He said, a religion of Sunday mass but unfair weeks is not a church liked by the Lord. A religion of much prayer but with hypocrisy in the heart is not Christian. A church that settled only to being well, to have a lot of money, a lot of comfort, but to forget the claims of injustice would not be the true church. In 78, a year after, he preached, when bread is given to the hungry, they call you a saint. But if you ask the causes of why the people are hungry, they call you a communist, an atheist. But there is a closer and more dangerous atheism for our church, the atheism of capitalism, when material goods become idols and replace God. In 1980, Archbishop Romero met with John Paul II, the Pope, and complained about the leaders of El Salvador engaged in terror and assassinations. He also pleaded for our government to stop the military aid to the country. Most of these assassins were part of the military of El Salvador and trained in U.S. Military schools, the famous or infamous School of Las Americas. This requests were ignored, and he was killed March 24 of 1980. He was killed on a Monday, the Sunday before he preached a sermon which sealed his fate. And in that sermon, he said the following. I would like to make an appeal in a special way to the men of the army, and in particular to the bases of the National Guard, the police, the barracks. Brothers, they are our own people. You are killing your own peasant brothers. And before a man's order to kill, the law of God that says do not kill must prevail. No soldier is obligated to obey an order against the law of God. And in moral law, no one has to fulfill. It is time for you to recover your conscience, to obey your conscience rather than the order of sin. The church, defender of the rights of God, of the law of God, of human dignity, of the person, cannot remain silent before such abomination. We want the government to take seriously that the reforms are useless if they are stained with so much blood. in the name of God, in the name of his suffering people, whose cries rise to heaven every day, more tumultuous. I beg you, I plead you, I order you, in the name of God, stop the repression. The day after he was killed, these words were the end of his life. Today, in the Abbey of Westminster Abbey in London, his statue was erected a couple of decades ago as part of the commemoration of the 20th century martyrs. And our Episcopal Church included him in our calendar of saints in 2006. And as probably most of you know, and that's why I'm talking about him, last week, Pope Francis canonized him in Rome. Before Romero's death, flyers were handed out in San Salvador. And the flyer said, "Be a patriot, kill a priest." Almost 9 months after Romero's assassination, four American women, two Marinol sisters, an Ursuline sister, and a lay missionary, were raped and killed in the course of their duties by the Salvadoran army. Later in 1989, six Jesuit priests, their housekeepers, and her daughter were similarly murdered in their home. We went to visit. Remember that?
We saw it all.
And we went to the garden. They were taken out and killed, and where their bodies laid, they were planted rose bushes. I would like to say again the prayer I started, Hugh said, in the beginning. And it's a beautiful prayer. It comes not from our prayer book, but from the Revised Common Lectionary Prayers. And I believe the life of Oscar Romero is a witness and a testimony of what this gospel we just heard is about. To be willing to drink the cup and be baptized to follow Christ. We prayed, "Most High, your anointed one offered himself freely as witness against our violence, our acts of oppression, and our sin. As you delighted to call him your son, give us the courage to bring you equal delight by our willingness to drink the cup of sacrifice on behalf of our sisters and brothers, and with them offer you praise unceasing and lives transformed as true heirs of your grace-filled realm. Amen."